I remember the first time we met. I was living a life of deep regret. I remember well that sacred place where I received your precious gift of grace. I'll never understand why love a common man so much that he would die in my place. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Here I am alone with you again, wounded from the burdens of my sin, guilty and ashamed of my mistakes. But then you extend your endless gift of grace. I'll never understand why you love a common man so much that he would die in my place. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'll never understand why you love a common man so much that he would die in our place. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Oh, I'm so thankful for the gift of grace.
Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Last evening, sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go out and make the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. While going down life's weary road, I'll try and live some traveler's load. I'll try and change the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Last evening sun is thinking of a few more days, and I must go up and meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun.
It's awesome. Thank you, Julia. That's awesome. He liked that.
Until last night, I was running a high fever. Sick too. Thank God for vitamin C and zinc.
That's right. That's right.
And y'all prayed for me because I was going to sing something else, but I thought my throat's already a little still raspy, so I just hope the Holy Spirit will sing it for me. One thing I can pray for.
Bless you, Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear, the hour I first and snares I have already caught. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When by shining at the sun, waiting all this day to sing God's praises, than when we first begun. 'Cause Jesus is the world.
Thank you, Miss Julia. Thank you.
All right, thanks, man. Let's get situated. Where am I going to use the pulpit line today?
Huh? Huh? Okay. Hey, I'll wear the waterless mic and I'll follow you out there and preach to you out there. And you know what doing. Yeah, he will. That's right. Yeah, I appreciate you praying for me. I bless you too. Amen.
You get situated. All right.
That's the way.
All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, I've had the flu all week, and the doctor said yesterday I broke down and went to the clinic and said I had to be fever-free for 24 hours before I could be around people. And I've not been fever-free for 24 hours, so I don't want to give it to anybody. So this is not our normal practice. But just so everybody knows and won't walk out here, I know how people are. They'll go out and they'll say, that preacher, I visited that church, and he didn't shake hands at all. So here you go.
That's right. Shake them.
Amen. That's right. Hey, there's Rick Hayes back there. Hey, dude, you get a special handshake.
That's right.
You not going to shake hands back, brother?
All right. Yeah, right. Good seeing y'all tonight. All right. Praise God today. I don't even know what time of day it is. If you would be turning your Bibles to Acts 1:8, we'll save the announcements for the time that we just missed the ladies. The ladies that aren't special and get special food and get dismissed early. And we'll dismiss the ladies and have them go on over and cook the food, fix the food, and get that ready. And we'll make announcements during that time. But if you are there in Acts 1:8, if you would please stand in honor of God's word, if you're able. If you're not, we understand. Acts 1:8, that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for everything given us. I pray for all the people that are sick today, Lord. I know there's many and too many to name. I mean, just names and faces are floating in front of me right now. You know who they are, and the church knows who they are. I pray you touch them right now. Pray you bless me this morning, Father. Just help my health. Help me to get through this sermon. Help people not to focus on me and my frailties and my infirmities, God. Just help them to see your word and see your truth for them today. I pray you bind the hands of demonic forces today. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this service and on this church. Build a hedge around us. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to start this morning and finish up tonight. This is going to be a simple sermon. Very simple sermon, but it's very important. Very important sermon. In fact, this is probably one of the most important sermons you'll hear from this pulpit. And it's basically on witnessing. We should be a witness. Amen? We should be a witness. Now, this subject's the most important subject, as I said, it's been preached from the pulpit. But I want to ask you this. How many of us are truly witnesses for the Lord? How many of us, including myself, are truly the witnesses we should be for Jesus Christ, Brother Shane? Only you can determine that. And I'm not here to put you on the spot this morning, but I want you to examine your heart. I want you to understand that witnessing is very serious. We found that over in Ezekiel 33. It says, set a man speaking to the children of thy people, and saying to them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, it taketh not warning. If the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. But it goes on to say, if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand.
That's right.
Listen, folks, witnessing is very serious. God holds you, each and every one of you, and myself accountable for witnessing. Amen? Listen, if we fail to warn others of God's coming judgment and they die in their sins, God is going to hold us directly responsible for the eternal destinies. Preachers said it before, and I know there's many people in here that have told me your stories, but you know of people that God impressed upon you, Brother Larry? Brother Lee, God impressed. Sister Becky, God impressed upon your heart. Go and tell them about Jesus. And you said, later, Lord, not now, Lord. That's and right. They died in their sins, and as far as you know, they went to hell.
Yeah.
Every one of us that are true witnesses and love the Lord have somebody in our life, and that is probably a game changer in your witnessing. Amen? But I want to just answer a few questions this morning. First of all, who are you responsible to for witnessing? Who are you responsible to? Well, the Bible tells us your neighbor is one. We find over in Leviticus 19:18, we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Romans 13:9 repeats it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:14 says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I want to ask you something. If you know you're saved, if you know you're on your way to heaven, Do you really love your neighbor as yourself? You say, oh yes, Brother Jeff, I love my neighbors myself. Well, have you told them about hell?
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. If you love yourself enough to come to an altar and say, God save me, Lord, I don't want to go to that place called hell. If you have not told your neighbor about that place called hell, then you don't love me.
Yeah.
You don't love me. Now listen, folks, I want to tell you something. I've got some hard neighbors next door to me. They're hard. They're former Jehovah's Witnesses, and they got burnt out on religion. They don't want to talk anything about God. And I understand you're going to encounter people like that. But they still get a gospel tract every now and then. They still get invitations to church every now and then. Listen, folks, that doesn't give you, just because they reject, doesn't give you the opportunity to say, I'm not going to reach them, amen. It doesn't give that. Listen, the average neighbor, let me tell you one of five things they believe. I mean, one thinks you can earn your salvation. You go to most people and they say, well, I'm being good enough. I'm not that bad a person.
That's right.
I look at so-and-so and they're bad, amen. I'm not as bad as they are. I think I'm okay. They'll also say all religions are the same. They think, well, as long as I go to church, as long as I believe in God, I'm good. I'll go to heaven. Another one is that they think God's love and that God would never throw anybody into that place called hell. Listen, God is a God of love, but He's also a holy and a just God. And I want to tell you, if you reject His gift of salvation, you will be tossed into hell. You will be. Some don't believe in God at all. They think, well, if I just don't believe in Him and push Him to the side and I ignore Him, then I'll be okay. I'll just rot in the grave and never cease to be. And that's not true either. And then some follow a cult. And they follow a cult that teaches a wrong way to get to heaven. Amen. Now listen, the second person you're obligated to is yourself. You're obligated to yourself to witness to others. We find in 1 Corinthians 2:1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Paul said, I've got problems. He said, I've got problems preaching. But what Paul said is, he said, I'll do it by God's power. Listen, you owe it to yourself to say, God, I can't do it on my own. But with your power, I can. Amen? Listen, somebody else you owe it to witness is your church. You owe it to each individual member of this church. You owe it to individual people in this church to go out and tell others about Jesus. Amen? Luke 14:23 tells us that we need to compel them to come in. I want to ask you something. How many people, and again, this is an individual question. Search your soul, search your heart. How many people have you invited as a member of this church, have you invited this week to come to this church? How many people have you invited this month, this year? Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. You have an obligation to your church family to invite others to church. You have an obligation, amen. Listen, the last person you owe it to is your Lord. If you're bought with the blood of Jesus, you owe it to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to witness.
Amen.
He commands us in John 20:21. He says, I send you. As my Father has sent me, I send you. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are the ambassadors of Christ. I looked up that word ambassador and it says an official messenger with a special mission. Listen, if you're saved, you're a messenger with a mission. I better start getting some amens or I'm going to be down here. Don't make that come get the amens. Don't make me come get them. Listen, we are ambassadors for the Lord. Now listen, there are some steps to take before witnessing. Once you get this, some things you need to do before witnessing. First of all, you need to see people as people, see people as souls and not people. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Jeff? Well, if I see Brother Gary, and I go to Brother Gary and I watch him for a little while, I'm going to see some little quirks in Brother Gary, I'm going to see some things maybe I don't like, and I'm going to decide to myself whether or not Gary should get the gospel or not. I go up to Sister Nancy and I watch her for a while, and maybe I'm at work and I'm a co-worker and I watch her for a while, and I hear her as a tank, the office tank, she's sitting there getting her water and she's using some bad language or something. I thought, no, I'm not going to talk to her about the Lord. See, we start thinking about who we're going to witness.
That's right. Yeah.
Because you're looking at them as people. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you something, if you look at people as souls, you'll have the right attitude.
That's good.
You'll have the right attitude. Jesus had compassion, Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. See, he didn't look at each individual and all their problems and all their sin. He looked on them all with compassion.
Yep.
Listen, as pastor of this church, I have to look out across the congregation, and I cannot see people when I'm preaching. I have to see souls.
Amen.
I have to see people, and hey, it's up to the Lord who is saved and who is not.
That's right.
By their free will and their free choice. Amen. The second thing you got to do is you got to pray. Matthew 9:38 says, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest. Now remember, you got to remember the Lord is Lord of the harvest, not you. Amen. You're not the harvester. God is. Amen. You're the one that goes out into the harvest and tells about Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But you better be prayed up first. The third thing you need to do is to prepare a testimony. Prepare a testimony. Paul had a testimony. You can read about it in Acts 22:5. We won't read through it. You can read through it at your own time. But there's two types of testimony. There's the salvation testimony, and there's the recovery testimony. Now, you've either got a salvation or a recovery, or you've got both. But let me tell you what that is. Salvation is, what did God do to save your soul? Here's where I was. Here's what God did to save my soul. A recovery testimony is what God did to get you out of the pit. You may have been a drug addict, you may have been an alcoholic, you may have been a sex pervert, you may have been in jail, you may have been in financial depravity just at the bottom, but you have a recovery testimony. You can say, I used to be this, but now I'm this because of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes.
You say, well, what should my testimony consist of, Brother Jeff? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me give you the four things real quick. You need to include your life before Christ. But now let me put this. Brother Larry does the best job of anyone I know on this. Brother Larry does not give you every gory detail about his past.
Yeah.
He does. When he's sharing his testimony with somebody, he just tells them, here's where I was. He might bring up I was homeless or something like that, but he does not share the details. Look, you don't have to go on such and such date. I was here, and here's the drugs I did,
yeah,
and here's the people I was with. And no, you don't need to do that. That's giving the devil glory, amen?
That's right, that's right.
Don't do that. Yeah. Tell your life before Christ, but be gentle. Then you need to tell how you came to see your need for Christ. Here's where I was, and here's how I knew that I needed Christ.
Good.
Then you need to say how you received Christ. The preacher showed me some scripture. I called up a friend. Hey, I was at a ball game, and I picked up a gospel tract. However it was, share your testimony, and then tell the changes since Christ came into your life.
Hey.
Listen, folks, everybody in here has got a testimony. It doesn't have to be a grand testimony.
Yeah.
Just say, look, here's what I was,
yes,
here's what I am now, and it's thanks to Jesus, and He can do the same thing for you.
That's
amen.
Right.
Yes.
Now listen, there's three important things to keep in mind when forming your testimony. Now keep this in mind. Keep it short. Amen? Listen, folks, you got to understand, when you're talking to people, one, they don't want to hear about Jesus. Okay? So the more you can pack in to just a minute or so, the better. Two, nobody wants to hear you ramble. Amen? I can't stand being around people and all you hear is just bunga, 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 bunga. They're chewing on your ear and they're talking about Jesus, but they never stop. And 40 minutes later, you're sitting here going, I was supposed to visit so-and-so, but I'm still with so-and-so here, right?
Hey.
Listen, folks, it gets to the point where they cut you off.
Yeah.
So keep it short. You need to emphasize Jesus more than you. Colossians tells us to give us Jesus, to give Him the preeminence. Amen.
Yeah.
And then the third thing you need to do is avoid terminology that's going to sidetrack it. Listen, folks, don't get into the millennial reign of Christ and the tribulation. And hey, Brother Jeff is teaching this on Revelation. Let me tell you about Revelation. You're talking to a lost person that don't know anything about the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, even little things like born again and things like that, throw them off. I mean, folks, you got to keep it simple for them. Quote Scripture. Tell them things, amen. Now, I'm not saying don't tell them you must be born again. If you use that Scripture, that's fine. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if you use Christian terms that we're used to, they're not used to them. Don't think they know what they mean.
Right.
If you go to a Mormon and say, are you saved? They're going to say yes. If you go to a Jehovah's Witness and say, are you saved? They're going to say yes. But our terminology is different from theirs.
That's right.
You got to understand that. Amen. By the way, ours is biblical terminology. There's it. Amen. Am I getting amen still? All right. Now listen, preparing yourself beforehand to witness, before you even go out to witness, you need to work with partners. Work with partners. You say, why? Because in the Bible, they went out by twos. Amen. It's always smart to be with somebody when you go out and witness. We find in Luke 10:1, it says that He sent them out two and two. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls.
Yep.
Listen, it's for accountability. It's for responsibility. Listen, folks, when I go out and I know I might be in a situation, I always call somebody like Brother Larry, or Brother Dave, Brother Roddy, one of my deacons, somebody, Brother Lynn. I say, have y'all got time? I need somebody to go. I will call or I'll find somebody to go with me, amen, or I won't go. Because listen, folks, it's about responsibility. It's about accountability, amen.
Jeez.
So we go in two. Then you need to seek the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says they receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now listen, this is important. Being filled with the Spirit and being born again, baptized by the Spirit are two different things. Okay? When you are saved, the Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're baptized immediately, not by water, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. You're baptized immediately into the body of Christ. Amen. And you become a new creature in Jesus. That can never be taken away from you.
Right.
But the filling of the Spirit is something totally different. You determine whether you're filled or not.
That's right.
You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Jeff? Well, let me tell you here. It says, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means if you feed this flesh, well, I'm going to do my drugs, I'm going to do my alcohol, whatever, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
You're filled with the things of the world.
Hey.
You're filled with the television. You're filled with the pornography. You're filled with all the things, and you're not going to be filled with the Spirit, and you will not be a good witness.
That's right.
Hey. You won't witness at all.
Yes.
You won't witness at all. So it's what you feed is what's going to determine what you witness.
Hey.
Listen, the third thing you need to do is cleanse out the sin in your life. And that goes along with feeding the flesh or feeding the Spirit. The 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've got to get rid of your sin in order to be a good witness. Amen. Listen, I mean, the Bible, we went over this many times about judging, right? You can't point your finger at somebody else and say this is wrong and rebuke them when you got to beat them in your own eye.
Yeah. That's right.
And we've talked about that many times. You got to cleanse yourself up and make sure you're out with the Lord before you start telling others how to live their life.
Hey.
Amen. Now listen, if you're filled with the Spirit, what will that do? And we're almost done. Brother Larry, you start getting ready, brother, to come forward. I don't know if you got somebody doing a song, but I'm going to let Brother Larry close out with the invitation. First of all, if you're Spirit-filled, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to go ahead of you to prepare the lost person to receive what you've got to say. I mean, we find that in John 16:8. It says He will reprove the world of sin. Acts 2:37, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Listen, folks, you always want the Holy Spirit going ahead of you.
Yeah.
It does no good for Brother Jeff to say, well, I'm going to feel good about myself this week. And I'm going to grab a gospel tract or two, and I'm going to go out, Brother Shane, Brother Chauncey, Brother Jimmy, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to hand out tracts. If the Holy Spirit doesn't go ahead of me, cabinet does no good.
That's
you
right.
You know that. You know it does no good for you to go on the street and hand out tracts if the Holy Spirit doesn't go ahead of you.
Yeah, right.
We know it's true, amen. Now listen, the same thing, the Holy Spirit will guide you what to say when you witness.
That's right.
Find that John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Listen, if you're filled with the Spirit, you will be amazed at what God goes thinking and puts
right
there.
That's right.
There have been times, Brother David, that I've been preaching. I'm trying to stay on the stage, guys. There are times that I've been preaching, and I've been preaching, and I've been out witnessing whatever it is, and I've been thinking of something, and I couldn't think of it, and the Lord went, bang, and put it right there.
Yeah,
and it just came out of nowhere. God will do that. The Holy Spirit will do that. Listen, the Holy Spirit will work on your witness long after you've departed. That's why you need the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Long after you're gone, guess what's going to happen? They're going to remember those words.
Yeah.
I think about Brother Larry preaching Brother Art's brother's funeral. And I think about those people, and Brother Larry made the statement, which was true. He said, you're going to go home tonight, and you're going to lay there, and the Holy Spirit's going to hit you. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's basically what he told me. And that's the truth, is that don't think once you run out of the church that the battle's over.
Right. Yeah.
Don't think once you run away from the preacher that the battle's over, amen? Because I want to tell you, the battle has just begun.
Yeah. Amen.
The battle goes on into the night and weeks ahead and months ahead of the Holy Spirit saying, that is true. That is true. And knock on your heart's door and penetrate. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Brother Jeff, I've not been the witness I need to be. That can change. Listen, you can make a covenant, a new pact with the Lord this morning.
That's right.
Say, Lord, I want to be a witness for you. Listen, folks, I'm not saying you go out and street preach. I mean, if God calls you that, praise God. I'm not saying it's wrong, but listen, you say, Brother Jeff, I don't feel comfortable going out and talking to people. Listen, folks, it's as simple as handing out a tract. It's not hard. You can hand out a piece of paper to somebody. Talk to Brother Cavan. Ask him how many times he's got beaten up or smacked or shot for handing out a tract to somebody. I mean, listen, folks, there's very few people that pitch a holy fit about getting a tract.
That's right.
But even if they do, so what? Let them wind it up, let them throw it down, let them throw it at you. Who cares? If 1 out of 100 did that, is it not worth it for the Lord?
Hey,
that's good, that's good.
You might be here this morning, you say, Brother Jeff, I don't know that I'm saved. Brother Jeff, you preached this morning about being a witness. And Brother Jeff, I'm just not a witness. And the reason I'm not a witness, because I don't know I'm going to heaven myself. Listen, folks, I've been there. I know what it's like when your pastor been saying, you need to be handing out tracts. Why aren't you handing out tracts? Why aren't you witnessing? Why aren't you bringing people to church? And you're sitting there on the inside going, because I'm lost.
Yeah.
I'm not saved. That's why I'm not doing it. Listen, if that's you this morning, you'll never be a witness for the Lord until you become born again yourself. Say, Brother Jeff, what I do, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah. Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell. He's done everything in his power to keep you from going to hell. But you still have to make a conscious choice, the free will decision to accept him as your personal Savior. He's not going to make you accept his blood payment for your sin. You've got to freely receive it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone stand. Brother